This is Cruise Control.
Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
On the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Cruise Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Welcome to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are glad you are along for the ride. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of developments really going on this week in the automotive industry. Kind of surprises some of them, I guess. It was announced this week that GM's going to have a new head of design, and his first big project is going to be the next generation Silverado pickups. That is a huge job for anyone coming into that into that position. So we will talk about that. And if you've been craving a brand new Mazda Speed 6 or Mazda Speed 3, you won't be seeing anyone at one of those anytime soon. But a new rotary engine? Well, that's another story. You just might be getting one of those. So, we will talk about that. And on last week's Cruise Control Radio, we told you about Hertz bringing back the GTH Mustang for rent. They used to call it the Rent-A-Racers. Well, now Enterprise is in the game, and you won't believe what you can rent. Not a Mustang, but a brand new Aston Martin. Imagine leaving that and giving someone the keys to that after they just signed their name. Pretty wild. We will talk about that. Plus, what US-made car outsells the Audi TT and the Porsche 911 in Germany? We know, and we're going to tell you. And I think you might find it a little surprising which one is outselling those two iconic cars in Germany. And we will have an at-the-wheel review of the brand-new 2016 Toyota Tacoma pickup. Actually, it is the TRD Sport edition of that. Great pickup. I really enjoyed driving it. We're going to tell you all about that. And it's kind of the trend, those small pickups, those mid-size pickups, I should say, making a big comeback. And Toyota has a great one here, all new for 2016. We'll have a full at-the-wheel review of that. Hey, don't forget, we are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out the podcast edition of the show. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up in the future weeks of Cruise Control Radio, so stay tuned and check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com. Les, I believe, fell out of the cruise control van when the door came off, so we're going to be getting him back in the van. We'll have to drive back a little bit during the upcoming break. But in the meantime, we are going to start off the show talking about design. And that is a big deal at GM. Ed Welburn, after 44 years, is retiring. And we're going to have his successor talk about his successor after that on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. We'll be right back. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Les is still trying to get back into the studio, but that's okay. He'll be here in a little bit. We kind of teased this big story this week about a change at the top at General Motors Design. It was announced that Ed Welburn, as of July 1st, who is the current GM Vice President of Global Design, will be retiring. And he's going to be replaced by Mike Simcoe, who's a 58-year-old Australian. He will be the seventh design chief, only the seventh, since the beginning of General Motors. You think about that, all the different people that have done that job, and there's really only been seven of them. And it is pretty amazing. And the amount of work that he will have to do will be massive. Of course, he's got to take over the Silverado project, which is huge. If you mess that one up, you can cost the company a lot of money. Mike Simcoe is a 58-year-old Australian, and he worked on a couple of big projects. He worked on the G8 about a decade ago and the new Camaro. Bob Lutz is a fan, for sure. He says that he has a little bit different approach than Ed Welburn. Basically, he's a little bit more pushing back. If the engineers say, hey, you have to do this because, you know, we can't build it this way, you know, Ed Welburn would say, like, okay, this new guy, Mike Simcoe, who will be taking over the position, is not a guy to just say, okay, that's fine, engineers. He will say, no, I need to design it that way. I need it to look the way I want it to look. And that is a little bit different approach. You think about what he's going to have to do. He's going to be designing probably autonomous cars. He's going to be designing cars powered by hydrogen. I mean, things are going to be very, very different. Style is going to really, really be a differentiator. I mean, another one of his big jobs, and it's kind of already underway, is to kind of recast Buick as a more more of a brand for young people. And that's kind of underway already, but he has to continue that. He also has to increase the pace of Opel's recovery, since this is a global job. And, of course, there's Cadillac. The edgy styling of Cadillac has to kind of flow into perhaps a, you know, sort of a super luxury flagship range of Cadillacs to compete with the likes of Bentley and Mercedes-Benz, a Maybach. Les, have you made it back into the studio?
I have. As you know, I lost my wallet when you hit that bump.
And the door fell off.
Well, but the problem is I was hanging onto the door at the time.
Well, Les, we have just been talking about the change at the top of General Motors Design. Ed Welburn retiring on July 1st.
Yes, indeed.
After 44 years in the company. He's been on the show before and is a great guy to talk about the history of design at General Motors and also design in general. Great guy. But time to retire, and Mike Simcoe is coming in, who has some big work to do, but he'll hit the ground rolling. And I guess it's hard because when that job, you're taking over projects that have been started by someone else, and you want to put your mark on them, but they're kind of pretty far along in the development stage, especially like the Silverado. If it's coming out in 2018, they've been working on it probably for 4 years already, right?
That's right. I'm quite sure he can't really affect anything that's currently in design, unless he hates it for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. And then we have heard cases of that where people come in and they see something someone's been working on and they just scrap it, which is really, really, really bad when that happens. But anyway, we will see what happens, and we'll hopefully get Mike Simcoe on the radio show in not too distant future. Also, this week it was announced, and this is kind of sad. If you're a Mazda fan, of course, Les is a Mazda fan, and so am I. But there's going to be no Mazda Speed 3 They will not build a Mazda Speed 6 based on the current models because they're just going to wait to the next platform. And that could be a little while away, a couple of years away at least. So
it could be.
Kind of sad if you're into both of those cars. We certainly are. And we'll talk about that when we come back. There may be something else Mazda is building, and you're going to really like it. Stay tuned to Cruise Control Radio. Plenty coming up. We're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It's all there. cruisecontrolradio.com. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at cruisecontrolrad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept for cooking.
White Lightning.
Cruise Control.
White Lightning. Well, that's not the name I would give my car if I was... Remember back in the days, Fred, when they used to put car names on the... right behind the front wheels on the panel.
Oh, I like that. I liked it when they named them at the drag strip. You know, all kinds of crazy names like Wild Child and things like that. They don't do that anymore because it's a thing called sponsors. They never put sponsors on there. And probably
That's
nowadays
right.
It would be politically incorrect. It would upset someone and they need a safe space at the racetrack.
Well, that's exactly right. But we were talking before the break about Mazda Speeds not being available for the 3 and the 6 until the next model change.
Yep.
I don't know the numbers, but I suspect that the Mazda Speeds have been pretty low volume anyway.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, this is an interesting statement by Masashiro Moro, who is the... North American operations president, the new North American operations president, he said previous Mazda Speeds were childish, and he thinks it's time to go a different way.
Interesting.
Whoa. Mazda brand has become more mature, more upscale, more sophisticated, and we have to transition to a new kind of brand to relate to that direction.
I hope his job is secure.
Yeah. Well, I think what he's saying is they kind of looked kind of boy racer-ish, you know, where it looks like a little bit too overgrown with wings and that. I personally never thought that the Mazda Speed 3 looked that way. I didn't think it looked overdone. I thought it was pretty understated.
Same to me. I always said that I liked it because it didn't look like a boy racer.
Yeah, it didn't have the big wing or stickers or anything like that.
Yeah, well, everybody's, you know, got their opinions, and this is the guy that's calling the shots. So he's going to go with understated power. Is that?
I guess so. I don't know. We will have to see what's going to be coming up here. But maybe they're getting away from the performance angle. But then again, maybe they aren't, because this is pretty interesting. This week there was a patent filed for a Mercedes engine, for a Mazda engine. Suggesting a rotary return. They're talking about a turbocharged rotary engine with a target date of 2020. And this could be very exciting. Not childish at all, right?
Oh, I just love the idea. I've always been a fan of the rotaries.
The last one was the RX-8 in 2011. Remember, they put it down so low in the car, low and back, for weight distribution. It was almost under the firewall, if you think about it. And that is great. That lower mounting really, really changes the center of the gravity of the car. And, you know, I think it'd be great to bring it back. They have to meet stricter and stricter emissions requirements. Yeah. But
And fuel economy. The rotary design is not very fuel sippish.
Right. But we'll see about that. But I'm just still thinking about calling the Mazda Speed 3 childish, or the Mazda Speed 6. I thought that especially the 6 was very, very sophisticated. And it was a nice size car, four doors, had a lot of power. I thought it was pretty nice, actually. But
yeah, me too. Frankly, there was very little badging that told you it was Mazda Speed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But he just feels it was child. Maybe he just is going kind of the way of Audi and Volkswagen and some other companies where they're just not visually demonstrating their power.
Maybe. They're making sleepers. They're in the sleeper business. That could be. Hey, remember last week when we were talking about Ford's and Hertz's teaming up for that GTH Shelby Mustang?
Yes.
That they're bringing out a new edition of this. And you said, ooh, I wonder why the other companies don't do that. Well, Mr. Jackson, you were on point because Enterprise announced that you can rent an Aston Martin DB9 from the rental fleet.
Well, every once in a while, I get a prediction correct.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, which one would you rent?
The DB9 or the Rapide S?
No, or the Shelby Mustang.
Well, I'd have to check out what it costs. I'm sure the Aston will be much more expensive, but it's not just Aston's. You can rent Ferraris, Corvettes, Bentley Continental GTs, BMW i8s, Audi R8s, Maserati Gran Turismo, or Porsche 911.
Oh, boy, I bet this is a lot of money.
I would say, could it be $500 a day?
I think, frankly, it's going to be between $500 and $1,000 a day.
Whoa. Yeah. And you have to sign one big disclaimer because they don't want you messing around with that kind of very, very expensive car.
Yeah, so, you break it, you buy it.
Here's one, though, Les, that's more your style and our budget. It is Hot Wheels. They're bringing back a retro style series. These are going to be a Target exclusive, so you have to go to Target to buy them. But they're bringing back the 1968 Chevrolet El Camino, 1984 Hearst Oldsmobile, an 87 Toyota pickup, and then 85 Camaro IROC Z and Porsche 930, and an 80s Corvette. Did you play with Hot Wheels? I did. I had big
drag meets.
They're a little before your time.
I preceded Hot Wheels. We used to get little model cars. Of course, we built every plastic model kit you could buy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. I did that,
and
too.
Set fire to most of them.
Oh, boy. Well, there's another story. Anyway, pretty neat. If you want some retro style, check them out at Target, the Hot Wheels Retro Style Race Series. So we will be right back on Cruise Control Radio. Plenty more to go. We're going to talk about a U.S. car outselling Audi TT and Porsche 911s. That is great. Right there in Germany, too. We'll be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
Cruise Control.
And
welcome back.
Well,
hey,
welcome,
at the
Fred.
Same time. Yes, hello. Welcome back to Cruise Control Radio with Fred Staub and Les Jackson at the same time. How about that? We've been telling you a little bit about this story, and we have to kind of flesh it out here. Ford Mustang is the car that outsold Audi TT and Porsche 911. You say, well, so what? Of course it would, right? It's an American classic. But they outsold them in Germany, Les.
Wow. That's got a sting.
Well, I mean, you look at the numbers. Mustang beat out Audi TT by 780 units to 708. Pretty cool. And Germany's best-known performance car, the Porsche 911, it was 780 to 752. Now, that's not a big margin.
That's price,
though. Yeah, it's all price. I mean, that's the thing. But then, if you look at the price that you pay in Europe, it's not that much cheaper. Both the EcoBoost and the V8-powered Mustang have higher starting prices than the equivalent TT, and the 2.3-liter EcoBoost-powered Mustang starts at about 38,000 euros. That's about $43,300 in today's exchange rates. The front-drive Audi TT starts at about 35,950 euros, or about $41,000. So really, it's a more expensive car. When you look at the V8-powered Mustang GT, which I think is a great, great car out of all the ponies right now, it starts at 43,000 euros, or about $49,000. Wow.
Well,
that's I know, imports and bringing it all in that, which is just 2,550 euros more than the quattro-equipped TT with 310 horsepower. So what is it, the panache of buying a Mustang, looking a little bit different, perhaps?
Well, I think it's the it's just for the people that really like the power, you know, the brute, unpolished, unsophisticated appeal of the Mustang. Because let's face it, it's nowhere near as refined a car as the TT or certainly the Porsche.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and I think, too, there's a lot of TTs around in Europe and a lot of 911s in Europe, and they just basically don't want to blend in with the crowd, you know, blend into the woodwork.
That's
right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that for the same reason that TTs and Porsches appeal here, the Mustang appeals there. It's a legend.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, Mitsubishi's telling its dealers, Les, in a recent meeting at Las Vegas, that they're going to be getting back into turbocharging. If you remember, if you can remember back this far to the 1980s and 1990s, that was a big deal at Mitsubishi, right? Remember?
My
that?
Favorite car was the Mitsubishi 3000 GT VR4, which was twin turbocharged. Well over 300 horsepower. This was 1990.
Mm-hmm. It was a big deal back then. You think about it. They did not have the electronic controls for turbos. I remember they used to recommend, like, when you pull up into the driveway to let it idle a little bit, or they would have a timer, a turbo timer. Remember those things? You'd shut off the key, and the engine would run for another minute or so just to circulate oil in the turbocharger to cool it down. They told their dealers recently that they're going to be getting back into turbocharging. It will be led by a 1.5-liter engine that's going to make its debut in a new midsize crossover in 2018. Of course, this is not anything unheard of, because we've been seeing a lot of 1.4s, 1.6s in that range getting turbocharged, and that becoming the standard engine. Makes sense completely. They also told the dealers... they showed some pictures of this crossover, and it will slot in the lineup between the next-generation Outlander Sport, their most popular model, and the Outlander. So they only sell about 100,000 vehicles per year in the U.S. Did you know that, Les? I knew they weren't that big, but I didn't know it was that small. Did you?
Actually, that's a little bigger than I thought it was. I honestly thought that Mitsubishi was close to where Suzuki was when they pulled out of the market, which was, you know, like 50 or 60,000 cars.
Well, they actually sell about 100,000 a year. They sell
right.
About,
yeah. I'm surprised that it's that many, because
you're surprised it's that big. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're also considering a tiny, tiny turbocharged engine, a 1.1-liter engine, for the next generation Mirage and Mirage G4 subcompact cars. Of course, the Mirage is their real entry-level car. And I remember talking to Don Swearingen about this, the head of Mitsubishi, saying, well, you know, you get a lot of heat for that. And he says, yeah, but look at this. If you could buy a new car for less than the price of a used car and have a full warranty, he's like, it's reliable transportation. It's not, you know, fancy and has all the latest gewgaws, as you like to say, Les, but it is reliable and comes with a warranty. So I understand that, don't you?
Makes perfect sense. I mean, yeah. Given the choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for the warranty.
So what they're doing at Mitsubishi makes a lot of sense, and it's not unlike all the other manufacturers going for those smaller engines with the turbochargers. So, you know, the dealers were probably pretty, pretty excited to hear about that. We'll be telling you about the new models when they come out and when they are available. You're a guy that likes to restore things. Les, you've done a bunch of restorations, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What number are you up to, by the way?
17.
17. Okay. Well, Land Rover is going to restore some of their Series 1 Land Rovers. Now, this is the very Jeep-like, for lack of a better term, very square, boxy, familiar Land Rover shape that you're used to. If you watch Mutual of Omaha's show, they would always have these Land Rovers on that. Remember that in the 60s? Wild
very
Pink,
much.
That's what it was called.
Yeah. Every Africa safari movie you saw in the 60s.
Right.
That was the vehicle.
Yep, exactly. Well, Land Rover will restore 25 examples of the iconic Series 1. They're going to do it through their Land Rover Classic division. They will be restored to as new condition and sold to customers under the new Reborn program. The 25 vehicles have been handpicked from amongst many restoration candidates to ensure they are as authentic as possible and will be stripped down to bare metal for a nut and bolt rebuild at the plant. Pretty cool, isn't it?
Well, it is cool. Granted, there are restoration shops all over the world, as you well know, and we see them on TV here. Mm-hmm. But having the factory do it, you know it's going to be absolutely perfect.
Yep, and you know it's going to be absolutely expensive, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Well, in fact, $85,000 to $110,000, which, wow, by the way, I think is probably the same or maybe even less than you would pay at a professional restoration shop here.
Mm-hmm. You also get a factory warranty, and warranted reborn Land Rover will be perfect. Must be interesting. I think the interesting job would be to go out and find these things. You know, you have to have a real expert. You have to look. They have to know that it hasn't been cut up. It hasn't had engines switched out. Have to go through, and you're looking for basically a survivor that just needs to be restored. So it's very, very cool. Of course, Jaguar had an XKSS continuation series. They're going to assemble 9 XKSS sports cars, they had been under production, but the 9 of these were never produced after a fire broke out at the Browns Lane factory in February of 1957. So they kept all the parts.
That's cool. That's real. Yeah. Imagine what those will cost.
Astronomical numbers? I don't know.
They're going to go right on the auction block.
Oh, for sure. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have an at-the-wheel review of the brand new 2016 Toyota Tacoma pickup. I really enjoyed this, Les, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. Plus, plenty more on Cruise Control Radio. A lot coming up on Cruise Control Radio in future weeks. Stay tuned and check us out on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on our Facebook page. A lot of up-to-date information there. And also follow us on Twitter. Also some up-to-date information there. Check out the podcast edition. It's all there at cruisecontrolradio.com. You won't want to miss what we've got coming up. So check us out, cruisecontrolradio.com. cruisecontrol.com. Fred Staub and Les Jackson, we're going to be right back, so keep it buckled up. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Feeling a little dim? Don't blame your brain or the weather. Hazy headlights may be the problem. Hazed or cloudy plastic headlights can reduce your vehicle's visibility on the road, making it very difficult to see the road and for other cars to see you. Now you can restore plastic headlight lenses to like-new clarity with the Lens Renewal Kit from 3M, an easy-to-use solution for removing the yellowing and hazing that reduces headlight performance and visibility. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com. And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. We are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Check us out. Got a lot of great guests coming up on Cruise Control, and you do not want to miss them. cruisecontrolradio.com. Hey, Les, I had a chance to drive the brand new Toyota Tacoma midsize pickup. It's all new for 2016. It's got a new V6 engine and transmission, suspension tuning. It has the TRD off-road toughness. It is assembled in North America, and it is value priced.
I had that particular thing back in January.
Here's what I found out about it. I think it was one of the best riding pickups I've ever ridden in, and it's got a pretty traditional suspension: coil springs up front, leaf springs in the back. But it just seemed to ride much better than a lot of cars I've been in lately.
Yeah, longer wheelbase, heavier.
More tires around you, more of a sidewall. I think they've got a hit here, though. I really did like it. Mine was the, as I mentioned, the Tacoma TRD Sport 4x4 double cab. Comes in two bed lengths, 5 foot and 6 foot. We had the 5 foot and had the optional tonneau covers on the back. Mine had the 3.5 liter V6, plenty of power there, 278 horsepower, 6-speed automatic transmission. What I liked about it was the inside. I don't know, just the way they designed it. The dash is kind of low, and it has this low shelf, sort of for your phone. You can, it's got wireless charging for your phone if it's so equipped. That's pretty cool. You wouldn't expect that in a midsize pickup. And just a nice interior, plenty of room in the back, fold the rear seat up. I was really surprised by it. It, as I said, the ride was really, really nice. Some people may not like, on this edition, it's got kind of like a hood scoop. It's a blocked-off hood scoop, and it kind of hurts forward visibility. But if you want to look cool with a hood scoop, you got it. And looking at it, it looks like you might be able to make it functional somehow. There's just a little plug in there. I didn't get the toolkit out because it is just a press vehicle, but
yes,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah, I'm not going to start disassembling it. But with the V6 tow package, it can tow up to 6,800 pounds, which is not bad. That is an increase of 300 pounds over the older model, which is a nice increase. About the size of the average American, right?
Right, you know, around there. Yeah.
Yeah. the mileage, well, you know, it is a truck, and it averages 20 miles per gallon, 18 city, 23 highway, which is not all that great. But that's okay, because it is a truck. They've used a lot of high-strength steel in the body. They've put some new seals around the doors to kill off any wind noise. I have to say, on the highway, it rode well. It was pretty quiet, tracked nicely. Really no complaints about it. Easy to shift into 4x4 with a knob on the dashboard. We tried that out. We didn't go off-roading with it, but it shifts quickly and is ready to go if you want to go into 4x4 or 4x4 low. If you're looking for a mid-sized truck, Remember, there are a lot of choices now. Of course, the Colorado and Canyon. Of course, Tacoma. And we're thinking that the Explorer may be coming back, which will be yet another choice. One thing that I have to ask, and it's really not part of this review, but we're still in the review because I have to give you the price on this, but why hasn't Nissan updated their Frontier? That's a very popular truck, and it's kind of long in the tooth, isn't it?
Good point. I'm sure they are updating it, but I haven't heard a word from them.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about a new Frontier, but I'm sure they will be doing it, especially with all the other new models that are out there. This had a lot of standard features. It had automatic limited slip differential. It had, of course, four-wheel drive on demand, easy to use. It had an electronically controlled transfer case, 17-inch wheels. That's probably what meant it would ride better because it had those sidewalls. They're not really big wheels, but they were attractive. I found them pretty neat. This came with the premium and technology package, which is about $2,300. Dual zone climate control in the front, heated front seats, rear parking sonar, blind spot monitor, rear cross traffic alert. And then it also had auto headlights, a moonroof. It had a tonneau cover for about $650. That was kind of a hard tonneau cover that you would fold up. And the V6 tow package, which of course lets it tow about 6,800 pounds. That's an engine oil cooler, power steering cooler, 130-amp alternator. I used to get the tow packages on cars anyway because I thought it was great to have all of that upgraded cooling in that. I just thought it was a good idea. Didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. You sort of wanted the taxi cab version with the robust automatic transmission.
Exactly. Well, here's the pricing info. $33,730 is the base. As tested with about a $900 delivery, $38,230. Not bad, but it's not a $25,000 truck. But then again, it's got a lot more capability than many others, in that price range. So that is the 2016 Tacoma TRD Sport, Toyota Tacoma TRD Sport. It is built in North America, Les. So
it is, I had that very truck during the blizzard.
Wow.
This past winter.
Wow.
And boy, it went everywhere.
Yeah. Was it in blazing blue pearl like this one?
No, it was red.
Oh, maybe they painted it since then.
after the crash.
After the crash. Let's make it blue this time. It is available in what they call an access cab, which is sort of a two-door type of situation with a small door, or the crew cab, which is what we had, or the double cab, as Toyota likes to call it. But pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Hey, this is a good story, really. You and I have talked about distracted driving on cruise control for a long time, but you wonder what people can do about it or what the police can do about it. Well, Oregon is cracking down on distracted driving and has added 40 unmarked patrol cars to the rank of its state police. They will not only target distracted drivers, but speeders as well. But distracted driving-related traffic stops have jumped 37% since the new squad cars hit the road. Basically, what they're looking for is somebody weaving in and out of their lane, going slower than the traffic around them, not paying attention at lights, things like that. You see it all the time. People just can't put the phone down, and it's just pretty easy to recognize, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Actually, it's really obvious when you drive along. You can tell who's on their phone, who's texting or trying to read an email or just looking at their little map program.
I saw a guy in a cement truck driving along and he kept looking down like I was right next to him. And I thought, wow, he's hauling all that weight and he's reading his phone. Not too good, is it?
That's terrifying.
Yep. Because it was kind of traffic where it went 30 miles an hour and then maybe it slowed down. If he doesn't slow down, he's going to just roll right over somebody. So good for the Oregon police cracking down on that. Definitely good. Definitely good for them to check that out and pull people over and ask what's going on. At least raise their awareness somewhat. Hey, we appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. Don't forget, plenty coming up on Cruise Control Radio in the future weeks. So stay tuned and check us out on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. It's all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road. Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com for more information.